Lots of new information from Sony's State of Play, and we get a first look at the new Sonic title. Stick around, folks. We got a lot of new things to talk about. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Campfire Gaming Podcast. We're glad to have you here. My name is Matt. I will be hosting tonight. And as always, Rich will be joining me. Rich, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm tired. I've been spending the last like week and a half moving. So now I got the whole new studio operation going on over here.
Yep, you're gonna have it all set up. You already sound beautiful, but now you're gonna sound extra beautiful. So I'm sure.
Yes, but, I have the really expensive setup of a bedroom, a desk, and a folding chair. So yeah. I'm rolling the high life right now. This is how we do.
Yep. You're gonna have to build a whole sound booth type thing and put a little recording light outside your door so that everybody knows when you're recording.
Honestly, I would actually love to do stuff like that. That would actually be kind of cool to get like some sound panels in this room or something like that to like help absorb any of the echo that you might hear. But I am planning on getting another arm for this desk. Should be good. Hopefully you can get like a whole new setup. Like I have this whole room to myself now, which is going to be great.
Whole studio. There you go. We could start doing, just build out a stage and I'll come over and we can record in person and.
Hell yeah.
Maybe do video again, video where you can see us. I know we're up, by the way, we're up on YouTube. We put our episodes up on YouTube. So check that out if you like listening to us on YouTube.
I have an extra couch. Could put a couch up here. We can just record from the couch.
There you go. I like it. Perfect. Well, we're glad you're back, even though you are a little tired. We had a good time last week with Mike. We were sad you weren't able to participate, but again, as you mentioned, you were moving.
How did the book club go?
It was a lot of fun. Not only the game, which we played, Alice Madness Returns. Be sure to check out our episode. It's out and live now. But it was also good having Mike back. So hopefully the listeners enjoyed hearing his wonderful, beautiful voice again.
That's good. I miss that guy.
Yeah. Mike, if you're listening, well, of course you're listening, right, Mike? Now we got to ask him. We'll have to call him out. Maybe he doesn't listen to our episodes anymore. But it was good to have him back, and hopefully he'll join us some more in the future. So, you know, he had a couple kids. So, you know, we know how family life is.
He's
very busy, so, which is awesome. So, you know, good for him and stuff. So,
What's the next book club then? What did you guys decide on?
Oh, yeah. Let's just jump in there. So I realize we're recording this and we're already like a week into June and I haven't even put it out on social yet. So only people that have listened to the episode so far know what June's book club is. So I figured we announce it again here, and then hopefully after I'm done recording, I'll actually throw it up on socials too. But the next June's book club game is Little Nightmares.
Nice. All right. So that's a nice short and sweet one.
Yeah, we figured it was kind of like, okay, I know you were still kind of messing around with moving. We got kind of, it's not E3, but we got a lot of game kind of conference shows, whatever, live streams here in the next couple weeks. So I was like, you know what? We probably just want to pick a shorter game for June. It was, in a way, a community pick or a suggestion from way back, I think, last fall. I think it was Dan that suggested it as our Halloween or October spooky games. So it's been on the list, and we have a list of suggestions that some people have made that we pick from time to time, and this one made it. So
cool. Yeah, I can't wait to play it. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. So be sure, dear listener, to pick it up and play along with us. You can definitely you can head to campfiregamingpodcast.com, and there you can find a link to our Discord. And if you join our Discord, you can join in the conversation. We chat about games, game news. We got stuff like movies. We'll play games sometimes together, typically Hell Let Loose. You know that if you're a longtime listener. But we play other games as well, and we play with you guys if you join up. But the reason I mentioned that, too, is because we also talk about book club stuff. So, you know, you can jump out there, share your thoughts, your feelings on whether it's Alice Madness Returns. If you just finish that up, our May Book Club game, or if you're jumping into Little Nightmares here in June with us. You know, we'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts on the game.
Or so. Any of our previous book club games.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yeah. We like chatting.
We got quite the catalog of book club games now.
Yeah, I think it was just, was it our 16th or 18th book club we've just
Something
done?
Like that. Yeah. Yeah, we're getting up there with book clubs. It's been great.
Yeah. I love doing the book clubs because obviously
we get to
play video
honestly.
Games and then talk about them. And
we just chat about it. Yeah, it's so much fun.
Yeah. And then you get some of them that have like crazy deep stories. Like the Alice Madness and Returns, please go listen to it. Better yet, go play the game. But there's quite a demented twist at the end. You find out about the story and why Alice's Wonderland is so corrupted. And it was just kind of just a crazy twist. So sometimes you get those games, you're like, wow, like that was dark. Or again, it doesn't have to be dark. We've had that with plenty of other games. I know Undertale, I think, was another one for all of us. You know, the deep story of friendship and, you know, being nice and all that fun stuff. So it's always good. Again, I kind of already mentioned it. On our website, you can also find links to our other socials like Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. So be sure to give us a like, a follow if you enjoy what we do. We'd really appreciate it, as well as wherever you're listening to us, any sort of reviews, you know, likes, stars, ratings, whatever, you know, your site or application uses. You know, you don't have to, but if you do, we'd really appreciate it, and that would be
sure
awesome.
Would. Yeah. Yeah, give us a follow, give us a like, give us a comment. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, good or bad. God, I'm
good or bad. Yeah, leave us a hateful comment or something.
You know, we've done this for coming up on 3 years, and I really don't.
Oh my god, it has been that long, hasn't it?
I really don't feel like we've made it because we haven't gotten any of those like I feel like you've really made it, and whatever you're doing, if you start getting those haters, right? The people that leave those just really mean or demented, you know, messages. So, I mean, we're not asking you to do that, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of asking you to do that.
Okay. Rich
we're kind of asking you to do that. but make sure it's a nice, mean message.
Yeah. No, I it's funny. I tell this to my manager at work. I do better with constructive criticism. So, you know, if you guys got, let us know anything again, good or bad. You know, if there's stuff you'd like to see, let us know. We love kind of adjusting how we do. We obviously, again, if you've a long time listener, our show now is very different than how it used to be. So
because
we
evolved.
So we'll take any feedback, good or bad, that you want to send our way. But overall, we just really appreciate you listening. So thank you.
Cool.
And with that, we'll see you next time. I'm just kidding.
And the episode is done. Thank you. Leave us your feedback.
But no, we actually have a lot to talk about. Actually, we had a ton to talk about. Let's be real.
There's been a lot of news in the last like 2 weeks.
Yeah, we usually kind of newsy episode wise. We usually take it off with the book club. But then if you remember, you had started your move, so we only ever got the season finale, the Halo TV show. So we have like
That's
3 weeks of news. And I was sitting down last night and you were sitting down, I think it was today, and like we're like, okay, we can't, this is gonna be like a 4-hour episode if we do all this. So we trimmed it down pretty good. Hopefully it won't be, you know, too long here. But
we got a lot of new stuff. And like like what you were saying earlier is that we're kind of getting into the whole the summer season of video games. I mean, typically we would refer to this as E3 season, but unfortunately that does not exist right now.
Yep.
So we are stuck with, you know, Summer Game Fest, Nintendo Direct, State of Play, you know, whatever other companies are putting together some sort of showcase for us. This is what we got. So we're getting into the season, so it's going to be packed full of news.
Yeah, it just will say I think the season officially kicked off here just a couple days ago with Sony's State of Play, right? I think this is our kind of first
June 2nd.
Showcase. Yeah. And there was some good stuff shown here. I think the one that kind of came as at least surprise to me, we've talked about the rumors of this for a while.
Yes.
But to me, the big one is Resident Evil 4 Remaster. That has...
Right.
finally, yeah, it's real. I mean, we knew it because of all the leaks and rumors, but it's real now, officially.
It is officially real. Yeah, because we've talked. I mean, we've been talking about this Resident Evil 4 remaster all the way from like midway last year.
Yeah,
rumors were starting to crop up, and so we covered it for a while, all the way up until like I think like October or November or something last year, and then we hadn't heard anything for a while. But yeah, now it is official. Resident Evil 4's remaster is in fact going to be a thing.
Yep. Downside is it's coming next March 24th, and I'm gonna also put our own little campfire asterisk there, just because we've had so many game delays. Obviously, I hope it hits that date, but anything in 2023 right now, I'm like, well, hopefully it doesn't get delayed, or hopefully they pushed it out there into 2023 because that's a more realistic date. It would have been nice if this was kind of it released around October, September, October, because then we could have made it our spooky book club game. But
it still could.
Yeah. We'll just have to make it a spooky March book club game.
Right. So. Well, I mean, because that's what, I mean, that's pretty much exactly what we did with Resident Evil Village, is that I think Village came out in like March or April or something like that of last year. And we didn't play it until October for our spooky game.
And in all fairness, now it worked out good with Village and what was the first? Biohazard? No.
Seven. Well, technically it was RE7.
Yeah, but what was the
Biohazard? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Bio. Okay, it was Biohazard. Okay, yeah. So technically, that like I did okay there because that just followed Ethan. But in all fairness, if we're gonna play four, I keep saying this, but I really need to play 1 through 3 first. I would assume so.
No.
No, you
honestly,
don't.
Okay. No, not really. It has a couple of familiar characters if you've played Resident Evil 2. But for the most part, the story in and of itself, you don't need to have played 1 through 3 to really understand what's going on, because it's something that's very different happening in a different part of the world.
Gotcha.
Like there's no Raccoon City or anything like that going on. Like they might reference it or something. I haven't played the game in years, so I don't remember it super well. But yeah, it doesn't tie in to the point where you have to play it.
Gotcha. Well, again, I have 1 through 3. I just need to actually sit down and start playing them, and I've got at minimum until next March to hopefully.
Yeah, you got all time. Three of them. Honestly, hopefully. the games aren't that long. You got time.
They're only like 10 hours or something. It looked like
Yeah.
Give or take. I'm slow too.
It's give or take how quick you are with the puzzles and things like that.
Yep. One thing to note before we kind of move on to a bunch of the other stuff that was announced here, I'm curious your thoughts on this, just because you have played it. And these were some of the rumors that we had talked about before, but they are going to be kind of changing stuff. They said they didn't go into detail, but they did say we aim to make the game feel familiar to fans of the series while also providing a fresh feeling to it. I guess I'll just continue here with the quote. This is being done by reimagining the storyline of the game while keeping the essence of its direction, modernizing the graphics, and updating controls to a modern standard. So I'm really curious how you feel about them potentially changing some stuff. It sounds like they're kind of doing it to try to just modernize it a little bit. But again, since they're talking about storyline too, that could be interesting, and maybe some fans might not be too excited to hear that.
I mean, so my take on this is that I kind of trust Sony to take the reins on this one, only because while Resident Evil 3 wasn't as captivating as Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 2's now I don't know if they're doing like a full remake like those. But, when they were talking about doing the remake of Resident Evil 2, and then you see it's like, in over the shoulder instead of the fixed camera angles and things like that, when they started moving away from that, it was cause for concern. But what ended up happening is that Resident Evil 2's remake was an absolute banger, and it was so good. Like, even with the modernizations that they did make, it made the game feel so great to play that I would have argued that, you could say that it might be actually better than the original, because it was just so fun to play. So I'm honestly okay with them taking some liberties with modernizing the game up a little bit. and changing a few things to make it feel a little better. Like I said, Resident Evil 3 was weird. They did a lot of weird things with it, and the game was really short. But, I mean, you know, I guess you can't win it. Like, not everything is lightning in a bottle, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, Resident Evil 2, they knocked it out of the park. It was like a, you know, that was like the triplest of triple A game right there. So I think that with something like RE4, because it's so beloved, I do think that they will probably give it, like, you know, like the white glove treatment and make sure that it is absolutely polished and pristine when it gets released. So that's my take, I guess, is that I do think that they're, I'm okay with it. Now, granted, yeah, I mean, RE4 is not, I'm not going to, you know, pull punches here. RE4 is not my favorite Resident Evil game. In fact, that was kind of when I started falling out of Resident Evil, because they made a lot of, I guess you could say, changes to the way that the game was played, because I was really used to things like fixed camera angles and the sort of tank movement controls and the puzzle solving. And Resident Evil 4 was leaning a bit more towards like the action oriented side of it, you know, where you did have that third person over the shoulder, things like that. So I didn't really like it that much because of that reason, but I don't know. I think
maybe the changes they're kind of doing are going to push it back more towards the first three, but yeah, who knows? I we'll know once they kind of delve more into it and some of the changes they'll be making.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to do a state of play at like sometime this winter, where they'll show us some gameplay footage and things like that, or maybe even a demo. They've been really liking the demos lately, so
yeah. No, that'd be cool. Yeah, obviously we'll chat more about it when we hear more about what their changes will be. But maybe they'll kind of show more whenever they didn't talk about the actual hardware. But I was thinking about that here as I was going over the notes. They still haven't officially announced when PSVR 2 is going to come out, even though that was actually, weirdly enough, Games 4 were a pretty big part of this state of play. Which I'm just going to kind of, you know, go through these real quick, but there were about five different games here. Resident Evil 4 Remaster will have some sort of PSVR 2 content. Resident Evil Village VR, Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners Chapter 2, Retribution. That's a messy title. No Man's Sky and Horizon Call of the Mountain. Those were five games that they actually showed off in the state of play for PSVR 2. Which was, a lot of them were pretty cool. A few of them we already knew about. But it was kind of I was a little surprised that they didn't have any more news on the hardware. They got all these great games that they're showing off. And they've even mentioned, I think it was Jim Ryan a couple days before this, mentioned that they're going to have more than 20 games at the launch of PSVR 2. But they didn't didn't talk about the hardware.
Yeah, and I can't remember. Didn't they talk a little bit about, they gave out specs, didn't they? Like a couple of state of plays ago, or maybe even the last one.
They gave they finally revealed the hardware and gave a bunch of the specs, but still no like release date or release window. I think it's
true. Yeah,
kind of one of those, probably this holiday. You know,
I would guess so. Yeah. Like that seems like something that they would hold to their chest until holiday season. Yeah.
But one thing I will say, I'm still not a huge fan of generally not a fan of VR trailers, because as I get it's VR, but can we stabilize the video that's recorded? There's too much that like wobble that, you know, when you have the headset on, you don't see, but when it's being recorded and you're watching, but one thing I do want to say about what they did show, especially because I was pretty skeptical. I remember when they showed this, I forget when they showed it last, but Horizon Call of the Mountain, when they first showed that off, I was a little skeptical because it didn't look that great. But honestly, Horizon, Resident Evil Village, and even though I don't know anything about the game and have never played it, The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners Chapter 2, Retribution, God, it's a mouthful.
There's too many subtitles.
Yeah, those actually look like their trailer crap was wobbly, but it looked pretty good. And again, I was most surprised by Horizon just because I was like, oh, this kind of looks bland when they first showed it, but it actually looks pretty good now. So kind of excited to see more from this PSVR 2 here in the future, and less skeptical about the games that'll be on it. So
yeah, I mean I'm sure that they're going to be expanding a lot of that list when it gets closer time to actually launch the product.
Yeah, god, playing Village in that in VR,
that actually I already forgot her name, the doll.
Yeah, I did too.
The dollhouse, oh, so, yeah. The dollhouse run. Oh, that would be. Oh, that will, the, that will, oh, give me nightmares with the fetus thing. Oh, my, oh, God. Yeah. In VR. Oh,
that would, gross, be awful.
Yeah.
I remember Chris, previous host, when he was on, he mentioned about playing Biohazard 7 in VR and how creepy that was.
Right.
You know, so I imagine this is going to be probably maybe even creepier just because it's going to be higher resolution and in theory better hardware. So but yeah, geez, that fetus monster chasing you,
yeah,
that's right. Disturbing as is. But some other highlights too, I forgot too before we jumped into state of play. The way we cover these a lot of times anymore, so we just kind of go over the highlights here. So jump in here. The next big thing that they announced was a Spider-Man remaster for PC. So and it was a little tidbit, they didn't show a trailer for it, but my I guess, let me hear, Spider-Man Remastered is coming this August 12th to PC. Spider-Man Miles Morales, which they did not show any video from, but they did mention that that is coming later this fall for PC. So it's kind of funny, we were laughing, it started with, I think it was Death Stranding and then Horizon. I think those were the first two PC games for Sony. And they were all like, oh, I don't know about this. And all the Sony fanboys were freaking out because their exclusives were leaving the console. It's funny kind of seeing Sony really now starting to lean into PC.
I'm glad. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. And again, not something they shared as part of State of Play, but something that kind of came out after was some sales numbers for some of the games that they've put out there. Horizon Zero Dawn has sold 2.4 million with a $60 million in revenue. God of War has sold 971,000 copies for $26.2 million in revenue. Everybody's probably like for me, initially I was a little shocked that God of War was that low, but I remember, oh wait, no, Horizon has like a 2 year or year and a half head start. And the fact that God of War only just released, and I think it was January or February, having almost 1 million in PC sales in 4 to 5 months is insane.
That is insane. Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, holy damn, I bet you Sony saw these numbers and they're like, you know what? I don't think our first parties are exclusive to the console anymore. We're going to send it to PC as well.
Right. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. I'll probably still buy a PlayStation 5 at some point, but we'll see how things go. Maybe I'll just wait a couple months after games launch and buy.
Well, PC, I mean, yeah, so we're in June right now, bud. You know what happens at the end of June? Do you know what happens at the end of June?
Yes, it becomes July.
It becomes Steam sale.
Yeah, Steam sale.
Yes. And I believe that has actually already been confirmed, like it is every year.
Oh, yeah. Leaked, probably.
Yes. The last, I think it's like the last week of June into first week of July is going to be the big Steam summer sale.
Mm-hmm. I'm really bad with that anymore because I have such a large library, especially too now that I have the Switch. By the way, playing Luigi Mansion 3, pretty fun game. I have a PC, I have an Xbox, I have a Switch. It's like, I have so many games now. It's just like,
It's drowning in video games.
It's like, yeah, I can go on Steam and buy stuff for a couple, you know, spend $20 and get like 50 games or something like that. But it's like,
well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Is that like, yeah, you can look at some of these premier, you know, Sony titles like God of War and Horizon and all that, and you can start getting some sale. Like if they're getting on board with the sales and all that, you know, you can pick them up for even cheaper too.
Even cheaper.
Even more reason to play it. I mean, if God of War is on sale, the Steam sale, sure, I'll pick it up. I heard nothing but great things about it. So
yeah,
why not?
I think, oh, maybe I'll do that too. And maybe just run through it on easy just as a refresher before Ragnarok comes out. I beat it on whatever the regular difficulty is on PlayStation, but it was such a fun game. They did such a great job.
Right.
But yeah, no, like you said, good.
And
good
Spider-Man to see this. Was the only reason I was sad. I didn't get one. I didn't get like a PS4.
I'm still angry about Spider-Man games.
You don't like the Spider-Man games?
I don't know. They look like they're fun, and obviously they do really well. I've said this before. It's made by Insomniac Games. Insomniac mm-hmm. Games has also made one of my favorite games, Sunset Overdrive. But they've been too busy with making Spider-Man to make me a Sunset Overdrive 2, which I'm sad. So I'm just angry at Spider-Man because he's taken away from me getting another Sunset Overdrive. Stupid Spider-Man.
Still salty about it.
I am still salty. It's been like five or six years. When did Spider-Man come out? I don't remember. Whatever.
I mean, honestly, you know, we kind of meme about it, but like the way that, you know, when we did do Sunset for the book club and how it really just showed is this, it was like a fun critique of like game development and mm-hmm. just game developers in general. Honestly, we really could use another Sunset Overdrive because there's a lot of things they can make fun of with that. Like there is a lot of things to poke fun at with game development and all that.
Yeah. I think the other big thing that really it resonated with me back in 2013, or was that the year after? It might have been 2014. Whenever it came out, we had just come off, was it the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, both great systems, but they were one of the longer game generations that I think it was 7 or 8. You'll see it was 2004 when the 360 came out. I think it was. And in 2005 for PlayStation 3, I'd have to look. Anyways, we didn't get new consoles with PS4 and Xbox One until 2013. And towards the end there, I felt like a lot of the games started getting a tiny bit stale. A lot of the palettes were very big. You know, we're talking like the height of modern warfare and other war mm-hmm. games. Everything's getting very like, you know, desaturated and just earthy and like not knocking it. And then here comes right at the, you know, early in the generation of Xbox One, just this game that doesn't take itself serious. Yeah, pokes fun at the industry, super colorful and goofy. It was just like this. It was just a very refreshing game to play after some of those late PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 era games. So, and like you said, it's a good game.
It was fun. It was fun. I did enjoy it.
But yeah. But back to State of Play and something almost related to kind of skate, like I guess skating around. There was this game shown that was called Rollerdrome, which looked different. It could be cool. It looked like it's just you're on like roller skates, skating around, and you're shooting people. It's really weird. And it's in a kind of art style that made me, honestly, as I was watching this game, I really wanted a sequel to another game that came out a long ass time ago. The art style is very like comic book looking. And
yeah, it's like cel shaded. Yeah.
Yeah. Cel shaded comic book. Did you ever play the game 13?
No, I did not.
It was, I think it was based off of like a British comic book or something like that, but it was kind of like James Bondy. But I'm sitting here watching this Rollerdrome trailer. I'm like, damn, I could go for another 13, because again that comic book that cel shaded kind of look was just like fantastic. So but the game itself, Rollerdrome, looked interesting. I'm just gonna touch on these real quick. They were pretty important, but unfortunately I'm not well versed or a huge fan of them. But Street Fighter 6 was shown. There was a little bit of I guess there's gonna be some free roaming where you can run around with some of the characters in some free roam areas, which I thought was different for a fighting game. They did announce when it's coming. It is coming next year for both PS4 and PS5. Tunic, which was kind of almost like I think supposed to be like a Zelda type.
It's like a top-down adventure game or whatever.
That was kind of exclusive to PC and Xbox for a while. That is coming to PlayStation on September 27th. I've heard nothing but good things about that. We should do that maybe as a book club game.
That might actually be a really good book club.
Yeah, we'll have to look at the whole make sure it's not like a 20 or 30 hour game. But the last big thing I thought they kind of showed, again, I don't know enough about these to talk about them, but Final Fantasy 16, again, kind of, I guess, an announcement window is coming summer 2023. So some big news there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it kind of sums up the state of play. Again, I thought a good start to the season. I imagine we'll probably get another one of those, you know, fall, you know, maybe.
Probably, because you know, they've been getting pretty regular with these state of plays.
Yep. Speaking of past book club games.
Oh, the transition.
I actually had a lot of fun with this game last summer. So if this is on Game Pass or something, maybe we'll...
This was an editor pick. A pick from the editor.
Destroy All Humans is what we're referring to.
Yes.
Some news about Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed released this week. So actually, some of it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago was leaked in a weird way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed is coming August 30th. Be $40 title. Again, it looked like it kind of got a little bit of that kind of like the first game did. Obviously a facelift. It looks great.
Yep.
But it looks like they're doing a little bit with some of the skill trees. I've never played the original that came out in 2006. So I can't really compare it to anything or I don't know what they're talking about, I guess. But I guess there's some skills in there. And they've added some that are actually some new ones that are actually based on how many humans you abduct, which I thought was pretty interesting. So the more humans you abduct, I guess the more you can upgrade a skill or something like that. So,
okay.
The thing that got leaked a little bit ago by the Microsoft store was a little, side multiplayer mode or something, a standalone. It's called Destroy All Humans Clone Carnage. It's a 4-player co-op or 2-player couch co-op. It has about 4 different modes and 6 different maps. It's available to purchase separately for $13, but if you pre-order Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed, you get it included in that. But it was funny because like basically somebody priced at the wrong date to release the store page, I'm guessing.
Oh,
so
sure.
It was one of those like it just showed up and people were like, what is this?
Oh, what is this? Yeah, that's happened a couple of times.
Because in my notes, my little section here, as you're seeing it, obviously not the listener, but all that information that's in there for Clone Carnage, it was basically everything I got from the article a couple weeks ago when it leaked. I was like, oh, okay. Well, now I just need to mark this not a rumor. It's actually official. So, the actual main game, not necessarily the multiplayer, looks like a lot of fun. I had fun playing it, but yeah, maybe if it hits Game Pass or something, we can do another book club of it.
That would actually be, I mean, especially if we do like the co-op or something like that, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Try the DLC with the co-op DLC. That'd be cool.
Well, we could even play the campaign because it, the Destroy All Humans 2 features 2-player split screen co-op. So I guess,
it does.
So we could even do that.
Yeah. Bust out the old Game Pass.
Yeah. Now this was another one of those kind of goofy games. I had a lot of fun, and the destruction in it was just fun going into your UFO and blowing up towns.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
That was fun. It was a good game.
So, Sonic Frontiers. I'm gonna call it open world Sonic game, which kind of was a little intriguing. I don't know. It's been forever since I played a Sonic game, right? So I was kind of a little interested in this. It had its first gameplay. I don't know if you've had a chance to kind of take a peek at any of it at all.
Yes.
I'm honestly a little unsure about it.
I don't really know how I feel about it because I saw that combat gameplay video and I was just like, what is this? It looks weird. Like I watched I don't remember if I watched the whole thing of the that gameplay world premiere. But yeah, like it was kind of weird because it's like they're trying to do like this big open world thing, like almost like a Sonic Breath of the Wild kind of a thing. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, like you, I haven't played a Sonic game in a while, so I might not be the best person to talk about with this, but looks kind of weird.
I think what gets me is, like, sometimes you can watch a game and you can kind of see some potential, and I think there's some here.
Absolutely.
I'm not one of those believers where you could take any game and put it in an open world. It's going to be fantastic. But I thought this could be interesting.
Since, Halo.
Yeah, Halo. Yeah, I didn't want to go there.
That's fine. Yeah. I had to. Sorry.
Yeah, but Halo. But yeah, I was like, you know, you're a speedster. That could be fun, right? But my thing watching both of these videos, I think I feel that there's some potential there. But somebody that's had worked at one point in the industry and got to see some games in states, this seems like an alpha, right? Or pre-alpha, something where there a lot of the core stuff is there, but you really need to polish out and build the rest, like not build the rest of the game. Really, you're just adding the content to the game a lot more. You know, it just felt very bare bones. So I hope this is supposed to come towards the end of the year. So
sure,
I don't know, but it felt very alpha or pre-alpha gameplay.
Yeah, you know, again, I get what you're saying. I mean, like just contrasting this with something like a few months ago when we looked at like the Harry Potter premiere, mm-hmm. that actually looked really, really good. Like that looked like it was really well polished and looked like it was like almost done. You know, this, mm-hmm. yeah, like I get what you're saying, that this doesn't, it definitely doesn't look finished.
It and so really, I would say, needs another, again, I don't, this could be one of those, oh, this was from a build 6 months ago or some BS like that. And the other thing to also say about game development is a lot of times it can go pretty quickly from alpha to gold real quick, right? It could be just one of those, now it's in a state where everybody can just start adding their stuff and, you know, finishing it out. So, mm-hmm. You know, definitely, again, having worked at it at one point, I've saw games go from alpha to gold pretty quickly and, you know, get polished up very quickly and content added very quickly. So, but this initial first impression is like, I feel like there's something there. And I hope it's just like, you know,
it's just not done yet.
Yeah. What we're seeing right now is just an early look. And by this holiday, it'll be ready. And hopefully good. Cause again, I was kind of interested, you know, again, always a little skeptical of open world games, but I thought this could potentially work. And who doesn't like the Sonic the Hedgehog? So I still need to watch the second movie. Have you watched either of the movies?
No, I haven't watched either of them yet, but I heard that they were great. Both of them. I heard both of them were good.
Yeah. First one was fun. So I've just been dragging my feet on watching the second one. I want to see it in theaters, but I'm going to have to go watch it on Paramount Plus. Bro. Ugh, barf.
Gross.
But anyways. we had a big Star Wars event a couple weeks ago, and there was some kind of new game information that came out. Another game that was kind of, I think we've talked about once or twice as well about it existing, but it wasn't ever made official, was finally made official. And that game was Star Wars Jedi Survivor, a sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Did mm-hmm. you get to play? Did you end up playing the first game?
A bit, yeah. I never finished it though.
Gotcha. What were your thoughts? Was there a reason you didn't finish it, or was it just you?
I just put it down. I played something else for a while. I just haven't gotten around to picking it back.
Gotcha.
But it was good.
I wasn't
having fun.
Yeah, my quick review on it is, it was fun. But I'm not a huge fan of that, like, timing out your attacks. Again, the little kind of Dark Souls-y kind of...
Sure. Oh, okay. You didn't like the little Souls-like elements of it.
There you go, Souls-like, yeah. But that didn't mean... Like, I wouldn't say I hated it. All I did was, like... And I know this is a lot of the draw to the game, and maybe I'm going to get some haters out there for me sucking at playing games or whatever, but I just didn't want to get good at, like, all that fine tuning of the timing of attacking and, you know, cause it's definitely not a hack and slash where you're just like, whatever, I can just GMX. And
I mean, you could try, but you're just going to die. Yeah.
But I beat it. I enjoyed it for the most part, but I did put it on easy. because I was like, you know what, I'm not going to sit here and you know, get mad at the game because I get to that one boss that just always kicks my ass. I was like, no,
sure.
Let me just enjoy this. Let me feel like a Jedi, even though it's not on easy. But anyways, enough about that. We don't know a lot about Survivor other than it's coming 2023. So nice big window there. The one thing I did notice, I didn't mention this earlier, a couple of the games in the play, say to play were this way. I'm noticing more and more, and I think this is a good thing, that some of these games appear to be only coming to PS5, Xbox Series, and PC. So we're starting to leave the old generation behind, which I think is a good thing. I know there's millions of people that have those consoles, and at least for PlayStation 5s, I believe still, they're still a little hard to come by, but I'm all for this.
But honestly, yes, leave the old consoles behind. They are last gen now. It is.
Yep.
We can't refer to the Xbox or the PS5 as next gen anymore. It is current gen.
And PS5 and Xbox Series will have been out over 2 years by the time this game releases, which is plenty of time. Again, I know there's different circumstances around the last couple of years, but like, and trying to acquire some of those consoles. But at a certain point, you want to expand and make a better game, whether it's visually or functionally or something, right? Best example I can think of is the 360 to the Xbox One jump and PS3 to PS4 jump. It was Shadow of Mordor. I think it was the first one. They had that Nemesis system, and it was always kind of running in the background. That was just... Now, they ended up choosing to take that out for the previous generation, PS3 and Xbox 360. But that's a good example of, well, you know, they actually had to cut a huge part and draw to that, you know, feature of that game just so they could get it to work on the old system. To me, it's like, whatever, just make it for the new system.
Yeah, make just it the make best it for the new again. System. Yeah, exactly. Don't be hampered by legacy hardware. Just move on. I agree
but,
with you.
The little bit we got from this game, other than a cool trailer, go check that out on the YouTubes. It will be a darker game than the first one. Surprise, probably kind of going for an Empire theme, maybe. Maybe he gets cut off, meets his father.
That'd be cool.
But it also picks up 5 years after the first game. So we will be jumping ahead a little bit there as far as the storyline. So I thought that was, kind of excited to see a little bit more about this. But
yep. I mean, to be honest, I still can't look at Cal and not see the Joker from, if you've ever watched the Gotham TV show.
That, I actually enjoyed that.
Did show. You really?
It wasn't like...
It was so cheesy.
How's this? I enjoyed it more after the first season.
Oh, okay.
I thought there was, I hope Will Smith doesn't pop out of my closet and smack me. Jada Pinkett Smith played, I think the character's name was Fish.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yep. Mooney. That whole Fish Mooney.
That whole storyline was awful.
Yeah.
Right. I thought once she was out of the show and we moved to the next season, especially because she was very tied in with Penguin's story.
Yep.
I actually really enjoyed Penguin. From season two, well, in season one, but again, unfortunately, he was kind of tied in with Fish Mooney there. But it wasn't like the best show, but I did enjoy a few of the actors and that played some of the characters from season two on. I don't remember. I stopped at one point. I don't know if that's because it ended or if I just stopped watching it. I don't remember. But I watched for a couple seasons and thought it was okay.
That's fine.
But
yeah, fair take.
But yeah, I see. I when I see Cal, I'm like, oh, Joker, yeah.
It's, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He did kind of have that smile and evil look, but don't hate me, gingers, but it could have been just because he was a ginger. So.
Okay.
We love you, Mike, you funny ginger. A little bit more Star Wars news. The Saber Interactive will be helping out with the KOTOR remake.
Cool.
I think this is probably good news. Hopefully this means, I remember when this was announced and we talked about it, they're, I think, doing a lot of that. They're kind of remaking it while trying to keep as much of the original game. Again, kind of like what we just talked about, the Resident Evil 4, right, remaster there, is they're trying to modernize it but leave the essence there. And I think it's a pretty tall task. So it sounds like they're bringing in Saber Interactive to help out, which has been a pretty prominent like assisting studio for a lot of different games over the years. Mm-hmm. So I think this is good news. Hopefully it doesn't mean that they're being brought in to help just because things are a little rough, but we'll see whenever we actually get more news or some gameplay from it. I'll mention this when we get down to it, but I have a funny little note I wanted to mention. I didn't put it in here, but something about KOTOR here. But good news for Switch players too. People that do want to jump into the KOTOR games, which are fantastic. I'm saying that without actually having played the second one. Star Wars Knights of the Republic 2.
Everyone says that's like the better one too.
I hate myself for it. So because I absolutely love
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. I haven't finished. I never played the second one and I never finished the first one.
Oh, wait, really? Oh god. Yeah, okay. Correct. Yeah.
I have them both on PC too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't feel so bad. I absolutely love the first game. I think what it was if I remember, I'll look it up here. I think KOTOR 2 came out roughly when I was starting college. Yeah. Late 2000. So it was like one of those, like there was a certain bit of time during my college years where I played a lot of video games, but it was usually like I have time to play and I would just jump in and play these one or two games, right? I didn't have a lot of time to play a million different games. And I think this was one of the unfortunate side effects of, yes, kids don't go to school, just play video games. and it was always on that list of I need to play it, but never did. But I really enjoyed the first one. KOTOR 2 is out. As of when you guys listen to this, it will be out on the Switch and it will cost $15. But go pick it up because KOTOR 1 and 2 are on the Switch now. You know, they're fun games. Go play them.
See, I'm okay with Saber Interactive helping because they're working on the new Warhammer 40K Space Marine game.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very excited about it.
Is that retro one that they just...
No, it is not. It is the sequel to Space Marine, which is like a third person.
Oh, yep.
Like Gears of War looking mm-hmm. Space Marine game. Yeah, that game is fun, too.
Yep. I remember chatting about that. I'll have to check that one out when it comes out. Maybe that's what'll get me into 40K, and then I'll be, what'd you say, 8K down the drain buying figurines and all the other stuff?
Yep, you'll be a couple grand deep already. Yep.
There you go.
You'll see that, and you'll be like, man, I want to play as those things that I'm slaughtering in this video game.
Mm-hmm. I played Vermintide. Right, that's the kind of almost like that Left 4 Dead type thing.
Sure.
You survive, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Darktide is coming out. It's going to be similar.
Yeah. Oh, sounds like another universe I'm going to have to get into.
Oh, yeah, dude. The 40K universe is a fun universe to get into.
You cracked the back door.
Back me up on this one, Mike. I need your help on this one.
Here you go. Mike will love listening to this. You kind of cracked the door. I'm going to quick kick it wide open here with this question. Should I start forgetting about the Halo IP and start getting into 40K?
Oh, or... God, yeah. No, 40K is way more fun than the Halo lore. Like, the 40K stuff is, it's so much fun because it's so gruesome and terrible. Not terrible as, well, maybe some of it's terrible as in bad writing because, like, anybody can get a hold of the Warhammer franchise. But, like, mm-hmm. it's gruesome and fun.
Yeah. All right, we can't get an episode where we don't shit on Halo.
No.
I will also defend the Bungie era Halo stories. We're good in universe.
They are good. Yeah.
But anyways, enough shitting on Halo. I did have, as I mentioned, it was a quick little note I wanted to mention about the KOTOR remake, but I'm going to jump into the next topic here and it'll kind of be relevant. Microsoft turned down Marvel for making Marvel games. That kind of came out in the past week. I guess for a while there, and I worked on a few of these and can get why, Activision actually made a lot of the Marvel games for a while, and Marvel decided at some point, hey, we want to kind of start looking for a new home. End quote. This was Activision's reply to Marvel, apparently. Good luck finding your unicorn, in reference that Marvel wanted to go find a company that really kind of cared about the IPs and make really good games and not just these kind of, you know, shitty, you know, whatever, you know, games that Activision was pumping out. I know a few of the games were pretty fun. I think a lot of people really enjoyed, was it Spider-Man 2? Yeah. So I know they Activision didn't put out complete shit, but, you know, Marvel wanted more. And it was funny listening that Activision's reply was, good luck finding your unicorn. And they did in Insomniac Games and yep. Sony. Because what happened
and that
was
Spider game was sick from the sounds of it.
And then they're going to be, was it Wolverine's coming? And what was it? Dark Suns or something like? I forget what that game was. I think it's another one coming from them, but.
Sounds, yeah, I think so.
But yeah, so I mean, obviously worked out for Marvel. But the funny news too, the second bit of this was apparently Marvel approached Sony and Microsoft. And for whatever reason, Microsoft turned it down. And, you know, this would have been. Supposedly would have been around 2014. So I would say kind of probably makes a little sense because I think depending on when in 2014, Phil had probably just taken over from the shitstorm that was left to him. And they were just trying to tread water point. Right.
Yeah.
Keep their head above water. We talked about those stories about how Microsoft thought about getting rid of the Xbox division, you know, so probably for that window of time there, it made sense for them to turn down Marvel. Unfortunately, you know, Sony went on to pick it up and make some pretty good games with it. So
yeah, good for them.
But the fun little note that is relevant to this and KOTOR was I was reading another article. It was just a small little thing. It was just kind of like a comment. It wasn't a ton of news to it. But the important part of it was apparently, which this is I don't get, especially since it's recent, the last couple years. Apparently, BioWare or whoever owns the right to it's got to be BioWare. They approached EA approached Microsoft to do the remake for KOTOR. And if you remember, KOTOR was exclusive to the OG Xbox.
I do remember that. Yeah.
So to me, I was sitting here reading this like, why didn't they do it? But there was no reasons given. It was just they turned it down. I think it was to focus on their own IPs. I'm sitting there going, what are you doing? One, it does what it did now, opened a window for Sony to step in. And then two, it's like that would gamers would love you a little bit more. You know, Microsoft's stepping up, and one of the games that helped, obviously, was mostly Halo, but one of the games that definitely helped the OG Xbox and the Xbox brand gain some footing was KOTOR. And here they didn't even they turned down the remake. So it's kind of goofy, I thought. Silly Microsoft. Silly Microsoft. But yeah. Some other big big news. We've talked about this before, but it's finally official. Take-Two now owns Zynga. This is, as of right now, the biggest deal so far as kind of acquisitions at $12.7 billion.
Yeah, a lot merged.
A lot of it, yeah. So that's official. And we say biggest for now with kind of air quotes there is because obviously, we all know that the Xbox acquisition of ZeniMax and Bethesda and all that fun stuff is looming at some point, and potentially in the next year or so, which is what was that, 68 million billion or something like that?
ZeniMax.
Yeah, that's the parent company of Bethesda.
Oh, sure. Yes.
ZeniMax Media. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
That and the, I don't remember what the deal was for Activision either.
Oh, but I'm brain fart. Yeah, what am I doing? Who let me host this? Yeah,
I was gonna Activision. Say like they already got ZeniMax. You're like,
what the hell's wrong with this? No, ZeniMax wasn't. That was only like 6 or 9 billion, wasn't it? No.
Yeah,
yes. There. My apologies. Correction. Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh God. I should do more drinking before this. Maybe that'll help.
Oh, we should all do that.
Yep.
When we get the new studio, that's what we'll do. We'll have drinks at the ready.
Just come drink with us around the campfire.
Just drink around the campfire, talk video games. Let's go.
Do we really want to add alcohol to this? We have problems being sober. Yes. And shitting on Halo in 343.
Oh my God. Can you imagine the crazed rant we would have about all the stuff that we hate?
You know what really grinds my gears about 343?
But no, that is not what we're here to talk about today.
But yeah. So, sorry. So Take-Two acquisition of Zynga, $12.7 billion. It's official. And that's pretty big news there. Mm-hmm. Some other kind of news that came up. This is crazy and scary because both of us were not a fan of this with the news of this with Ubisoft. But apparently EA has been shopping themselves around for acquisition.
Like the great consolidation has begun.
Yeah. Please stop. I hope this doesn't happen. Or if it does, how's this? It was mentioned in this report here that it was Disney, Amazon, Apple, and Comcast were some of the ones they approached. And actually, apparently, a deal with Comcast actually fell through in the last couple months, apparently. I guess the kind of quote-unquote good news there is if EA was acquired, it's not by Sony or Microsoft. You know, or I guess you could start arguing things like Take-Two and Embracer Group now too, right? Or Epic Games. But at least it potentially, if any of these, well, I guess three now, Disney, Amazon, or Apple, if they were actually interested, at least it's, yeah, not one of the big ones. But yeah, please stop with the acquisition stuff already.
That'd be a weird one that if they would have gotten acquired by Comcast.
Yeah.
Like two of the most hated companies in the world, man, combining forces to be one super poo on the industry.
That would be, that actually would have been amazing in an interesting
in
way.
In a terrible way.
What is that? Like, there's like some consumer rating or review that comes out like a year. And I know EA has won a few times.
Yeah, it's Comcast the Golden Poo Award.
Was that what it, okay.
I think it's called I believe it's called the Golden Poo Award.
Yeah. Oh, God, they could team up and just win it for years to come. It's also probably, well, I guess we don't know if there is. It's just this talks for it. But hopefully they don't go to Amazon because we all saw how Amazon, you know. Oh, not Amazon. Amazon, well, you know, Amazon doesn't treat their devs very well. Or they don't understand game development. So there were, you know, reports as we've talked about some of the games they've released in the last year that have been a little rough. So,
I've been trying to play New World and that ship is sinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like that MMO is dying very fast. Yeah.
That kind of looked interesting, but that came out last fall and I didn't need more games to play. So
no, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it's at when it hits its 1 year anniversary. But yeah, so the Consumerist used to do the Golden Poo Awards. I don't know they might still do it, but yeah, I remember that. Like, I think EA won back to back years or something like that for the Golden Poo.
Yeah, I think that was around Battlefront 2 because of the loot box.
No, Battlefront 2 was like 2016 or 2018 or something like that. This was like back in like 2012 that they won that Golden Poo Award.
Just goes to show EA's been shit in the bed for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. But yep. Yeah. And I know that Comcast has definitely been listed for the Golden Poo. I don't remember if they've actually won, but
yeah, they're not a great company.
No,
but a little bit of news. We said game, whatever, E3 season, even though there's no E3 season, is upon us. Something that we thought was gonna be shown, and I guess could still be shown potentially, we'll find out here actually this weekend, but Project Keystone from Microsoft.
Talked about this briefly a couple months ago.
Yeah. And we all thought, hey, yeah, this is going to be the perfect time for in their showcase on the 12th year to show off, you know, this is not a lot of details, but it was supposed to be like basically some sort of like stick you put in your TV or monitor that'll let you play Xbox games via Xbox Cloud Gaming. we might not, again, who knows, we'll see on Sunday, but we might not actually get that this year because basically an official Microsoft spokesperson said, hey, you know, it might be a little bit farther out than, you know, we hope. It sounds like they had to go potentially back to the drawing board on a few things. Not a lot of details were given, but this is kind of unfortunate. I was kind of curious, you know, what this was going to be and how it's going to work because of Microsoft's interest in pushing cloud gaming.
Yeah. It'd be a little interesting.
But I guess we'll have to wait a little longer. Potentially. We don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll talk about it next week after they showed it off and it's out in the wild already or something.
Yeah. I mean, isn't Microsoft doing... They're doing a showcasing thing.
June 12th. Yep. So, yeah. Well, if you're listening to this on launch day, this episode, tomorrow.
It should be... So. Yeah. It should be soon.
But yeah. No.
Sunday.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff, which actually, by the way, there was news, I think, just recently, yesterday or something like that, that there's going to be another, like, it's 90 minutes on Sunday, June 12th, for their showcase, and then I think they're doing another 90-minute session 2 or 3 days later, and that one doesn't sound like it's just a deep dive in this thing. That actually sounds like there's going to be more stuff, so it could be crazy. We'll see. We'll cover it all for sure, but... We're kind of getting into the quick stuff. We're towards the end of the episode here, so a lot of little tidbits coming up. Some interesting news as far as the new PlayStation Plus tiers and some of the content that's going to be included. If you remember, there's going to be some like old PSP and PS1 games and PS2, but the information we have so far is only for PS1 and PSP, I believe. Is it, as they're going back to get those to work, basically kind of do the backwards compatible work on them to get them to work with the new service and the new system, PS4 and PS5. Apparently, they're given the option for developers to add trophies. So the first game to support it is actually Siphon Filter, which I thought is kind of cool. Again, I really enjoy how Microsoft is doing this. Hopefully Nintendo will get into the game a little bit more and faster. And it's good to see Sony's doing this with the support of their classic games and doing some of this backwards compatibility. And it's pretty cool that they're adding trophies to some of those. So,
yeah, good for them.
But it is supposedly optional, so won't be for every game. But it sounds like developers have the option to add trophies. Pretty cool. And on top, in line with the trophy talk, achievements. Microsoft and Sony, I think, does this as well. They have like secret achievements or secret trophies. And the next, I thought this was interesting. In the next Xbox system update, you'll have the option to reveal the secret achievements, which is a little goofy. But I'm not going to lie. I've beaten a game and played a game a ton. And I go, why? What is this one achievement in here? Like, I've done everything. What am I missing? And then go Google it. So now this just saves me time and I can apparently see it without having to go Google it. So that'll be
cool. Well, there you go.
But yeah. Do you want to give this Dex a little bit of news?
Yeah, sure. So we do shit on Halo a lot. Not like it hasn't been deserved, but we do bring up Halo. I mean, we do like talking about Halo stuff and Halo related things quite a bit. Just a quick thing that has happened here. We just found out not too long ago that Jerry Hook, lead designer of 343, has actually just left. So that, you know, is like what, the 20th person of 20th, like really high profile person.
Yeah.
To leave 343. Yeah,
I've lost count at this point. There's a lot.
I mean, to be fair, I want to say this was his first Halo title that he was lead designer for.
Mm-hmm.
Was Halo Infinite, and it sounds like he's kind of just done with it. And I don't know if that's because of like how, you know, the reception to Halo Infinite, or because like the project was just so taxing, or working with 343 wasn't very fun. I don't really know. It's hard to speculate what his actual reasoning is, but. Yeah, he's no longer with the company anymore.
Just not good optics with all these high level people leaving.
Yeah, good. It's the same, like, you know, coming from a guy who really likes or who really liked Blizzard. I mean, it was a big red flag too when you have a lot of people who are high profile people from Blizzard who are leaving. And they're going, they're starting their own studios and things like that. And you can tell that, you know, something is not right, which is why they're losing talent.
Yeah. But we don't know. Again, he could have been part of the problem. So
yeah, who knows?
This,
yeah,
this could be really good news, but yeah, we don't know. So yeah. Ubisoft will have a showcase at some point, but apparently I didn't know this until it was pointed out in the article. Apparently they'd like doing showcases in like June. So they're not doing one in June. So it'll probably be coming later this year. And if you remember from when we talked about it, there's a big rumor that they're going to actually have like a pretty meaty showcase, something like, I think what we had about a couple episodes ago was like 20 games or something.
Oh, and right.
And a bunch of those, I'll say like the big hitters, kind of like, or well, not necessarily big hitters. We don't know if they're big hitters, but some of those games like Beyond Good and Evil 2 and what was it, Skull and Bones? Yeah. So it could be interesting.
Is that game, hey, is that game ever going to come out?
Well, I thought it was going to be released in the, or shown in the showcase, which again, I knew would probably be sometime like this month or something. But I guess we're going to have to wait and see when they actually do end up doing their showcase later this year.
I guess so.
No dates or windows set, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sticking on the topic of Ubisoft, this game is, I'm going to say it, probably in development hell. It didn't have a good showing. I was excited that it was coming because I really enjoyed Prince of Persia, The Sand of Time. But the remake, which I think was announced in 2020 and supposed to be out like later that year, has been nonstop delayed. They had recently development moved from, we talked about the Ubisoft. It was like, what's their India studio? Anyways, it was moved back to Ubisoft Montreal. So, but basically the news came out that it's delayed out of fiscal year 2023. So it keeps getting pushed, which is to me not a good sign for a remake. I don't know what's going on there, especially a game that was supposed to come out 2 years ago. Again, I was not terribly happy with the art design, which I think was a big reason why it kept getting delayed and I guess moved around. So who knows what they're doing with it, but
yeah, who knows, man, that game is just trapped.
Yeah. A game I do want to see a little bit more on, but I am skeptical about it because it just probably mostly because it doesn't seem like my type of game, but Lord of the Rings Gollum got a release date. It's coming September 1st this year to PC and consoles. A Switch version will be coming later. It didn't say, so it could be by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think we saw this first. Didn't we see this first last year around E3 season when they first unveiled it?
Yeah, but it was kind of one of those like,
it was like a really
in-game
short
cinematic. Yeah, it wasn't a lot of information on it. We still haven't seen like gameplay. I think that's why I'm skeptical right now.
Yeah, anytime you don't see gameplay, it's definitely sketchy.
But you know this is going to be a game that's going to be shown in one of the showcases here. Yeah,
it has to be. I would imagine so.
But and obviously, big news for you and I, Rich. We're both super excited about this game. It's coming October 28th, 2022. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I don't care, but it's a big title and I know people play it. So I wanted to throw it in here. It got a release date.
Unironically, I am kind of excited for this because I did like the remake, like the redoing of Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. I actually did like the campaign was pretty good. You know, it was pretty good. And the multiplayer I thought was actually pretty fun. It's filled with hackers now, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited to see what they do with Modern Warfare 2 because this is I don't know many games that are more beloved than COD Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
They're coming back to Steam though. That's what got me excited.
Yep.
That's the El Clasico experience. Yeah, okay, yeah, rumored. It better be coming back to Steam.
But
no one gives a shit about the Blizzard launcher anymore.
Yep.
Just put it on Steam.
And this goes into a topic we talked about earlier this year, which most likely will happen more with Activision titles, is Microsoft has moved a lot of their games onto releasing on their own Windows Store, but also Steam as well. So this could be the, kind of the early start of Microsoft's influence, on Activision.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, as is EA, as is Ubisoft, like they're all
moving
funneling
back,
their games. Yep. They're all moving back to Steam and getting rid of their stupid launchers. It's only a matter of time, I think, before EA decides to dump theirs.
Theirs is a, I'm not a fan, but a little more fleshed out, I think, than some of the other platforms.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's a little more tolerable, but again, that's, I haven't used it in years, but Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. We thought this might be in development hell because it was moved from Saber Interactive to back to CD Projekt Red. But CD Projekt Red did give an update of the PS5 and Xbox Series versions of the game that it will actually be coming later this year in Q4. So that's good news. Launch window there, because again, there was a lot of kind of uncertainty around that whenever it was moved from Saber Interactive back in-house. So some good news there. Rich, I know we've had this conversation before, but you should go play Witcher 3.
Okay.
Now, no, we should do book club. You know, it's just only 120 hour game. Yeah,
easy. We could do that in a month.
Exactly. Just take a vacation for a week and just play it nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
I put this in here with no knowledge of this, but have you ever played Gloomhaven?
I've heard nothing but good things about it. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I've never actually played it.
Okay, I was hoping you knew more about it, but I guess we're both a little clueless on it. But good news, there's a PC version of Gloomhaven. The news here is that it's actually going to be coming to consoles next year. So yeah, that might be an easier way to get into Gloomhaven than the actual tabletop
game. Yeah,
because isn't that that's a couple $100, isn't it? Because
it's expensive.
All the stuff that comes, I've seen the boxes for it, they're huge.
Yep.
But
I don't have it, but I know people who have it and who play it pretty regularly.
We're getting towards the end here. Dragon Age 4 anymore. It's Dragon Age Dreadwolf. Dragon Age 4 has finally been given a name. So it's Dreadwolf. Can't even talk. Dreadwolf.
There you go.
But that's about as much information there. So yeah, more info coming later this year, they said. And I probably should have tied this up with the rest of the Witcher news. But I'm excited about this, even though it's just a little bit and probably 3 to 5 years off still. Witcher 4 has finally entered pre-production. So that's good.
Wow.
They're actually starting to build the game. So
cool.
But yeah, a lot to cover, a lot to catch up on, a lot of good news,
especially
coming into showcase and E3 season here. So it's exciting. But yeah, did I miss anything or any last comments? Any last little tidbits? Want to take any more jabs at
No, I think we do that. We I think we got a lot of it out of our system when we were doing the Halo TV series.
Yeah, I think I got a little burnt out on it, actually.
I did too, and I think that's probably why I don't like. I'll make snide jabs from here and there, but like.
Yeah,
I'm kind of done dumping on Halo for a while just because the Halo TV show was just like
really burnt you out.
Yeah, that dead horse is beyond dead. Like, we resurrected that horse and then beat it to death again.
I felt bad because I wanted nothing more than to talk about good things about it and be excited about it and have. I'm not going to say we don't have. They're not good episodes, but definitely. Well, one, we'll plug it here. Go listen to it. We reviewed all 9 episodes of the Halo TV series. They're up there in our podcast here.
We had fun though.
Had fun, but we definitely, especially towards the end, it was just hard not to shit on it. It was just, but anyways, go listen to the reviews, and you can get our full opinions on it. We had a good time though, I think, recording and watching it, even though the content wasn't the greatest, what we were watching wasn't the greatest, but again, June's book club is Little Nightmares. We'd love it if you played along with us and jump on our Discord and share your thoughts on it and let us know what you think along with anything else game related, or throw suggestions out for book club. You can find a link to the Discord at campfiregamingpodcast.com, as well as links to our Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. They're all there. So if there's nothing else, Rich, nothing? No?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. Last thing I'm going to throw in there, get into the 40K universe.
Oh, God. Okay. What can I sell to make up 8? I need to get 8K fast.
Nah, man. We'll just, me and Mike, we'll be nice and we'll get you like a combat patrol or something like that.
Yeah.
You can start playing the tabletop game with Mike and I. We'll have fun with you. We'll teach you how to play.
There you go. Perfect. Awesome. Well, thanks again, dear listener. It was a pleasure having you. And until next time, see you around the campfire.